This episode of the show is sponsored by Opinion Outpost. Market research is a big business, and companies need input from people like you. Share your opinion and get rewarded with gift cards, cash, and more. Sign up for free at opinionoutpost.com/TMS. That's opinionoutpost.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, give the dog the brown topper.
How about those Stephen King movies?
Things are thawing out.
Utah hospital says, get the F out.
Daughter gets a sweet new number.
Vomit and beef-proof shoes. It's
supposed to be beer. Anyway.
Oh.
Therapy.
I think it keeps beef out too.
It probably does. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Yes, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to pee. I don't need a second opinion for that, too. I know how to hold it and everything.
Okay, the burrito's not bugging me so much now.
The Morning Stream. That's a spicy meatball.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is the morning stream for Thursday, September 7th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Good morning. How was your day or morning? Is your morning good?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Did an ad for Lancaster News.
Oh, lovely.
I know. Yeah, it's been those pretty much it. I mean, just catching up on email. Oh, got a package out to Sean the Sean for his win yesterday.
That was very quick.
Stump a Brian Dunaway nerd. I know. Well, you know.
You're efficient. It takes me like a few days usually because I'm lazy. But
Well, hey, I still need to get movies out to you and Dunaway and Jordan for Film Sack. Sure. Although, you know what? We're not going to watch it before BlizzCon, right? Maybe I'll just bring yours and Randy's to BlizzCon.
As far as I know, we're not. I mean, we've only got, 9 weeks till BlizzCon or something?
Oh, come on, 9 weeks. It's like 5 weeks, man.
Is that all it is? What is it?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe a little bit more. Maybe like 7 weeks.
7 weeks to BlizzCon. Yeah. It's going to be good. Yeah. I'm excited to see everybody again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, 8 weeks.
8 weeks. So closer to my nine.
Yeah, much closer to your nine. For some reason, I was thinking it was... It was less, but yeah, okay.
It's all good. It's usually me on this. I usually shortchange my week, so it's all good. I feel pretty good about that. Anyway, yeah, that'll be fun.
BlizzCon is, actually, I don't know if you saw this morning, BlizzCon announced the band that is going to be performing at BlizzCon this year will be none other than Ambrosia.
Oh, shut up. You have me all excited for a new band, and then it was a joke.
Buzzcags.
I could tell you who my son wants. He wants, for whatever reason, he thinks the Foo Fighters should come back because A, he wasn't there in 2011 when they performed, and B, he really likes them and thinks their new song for that new album they're putting out is amazing and cannot wait to go see them. So he is hoping for a Foo Fighters return, but they've never done a return band, so I don't know what they're going to do here.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't have any predictions.
Do they continue on the route? I mean, the last year was Weird Al Yankovic. Do they continue on that route and get like, I don't know who, like.
Yeah, who else is like that? Who else does like parody style?
Richard Cheese? I bet he's available.
You better make sure you get real close to the stage and take a lot of pictures so that he can spit on you.
Get your phone right up there in grabbing range.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Inside joke. Anyway, so I'm going to say it's going to be a raucous band. I'll make the prediction that it will be... It could end up being like 21 Pilots or something.
Mm.
I could see that working there. If you're talking like a modern day working band, or if they're going to go like dip into the 90s a little bit, who haven't they done that? I know that they all like they'd like their Metallica, but they've done that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Metallica, Blink 182.
Yeah. You can't have Linkin Park back because it's, you know, it's too soon. Not just because they just performed there, but because, you know, they've lost their singer.
Yes, exactly.
All they have now is their rapper guy. You can't just have that.
Captain Kipper says Spice Girls. I mean, come on. Here's what I would do. I would spend a majority of BlizzCon waiting at the edge of the stage to make sure I get the best possible seat to see Spice Girls.
I don't know if I'd go. I mean, I'd know. I'd probably go.
There's no way. It's just obviously it's just not a fit for BlizzCon.
No, it's never even going to be an. They're not even
Nor
together.
Would they even do it? Yeah.
Yeah, they're not even a band or whatever. What are you going to do? Not do it with Posh Spice just because she's fancy with her soccer
player
husband? Yeah,
I think Spice Girls should not do it with Posh Spice. If they do a reunion, she's the Expendable Spice. Oh, it's her new
Expendable Spice.
Expendable Spice.
I like that. But she could be in an Expendables movie then after that. Because
she could.
She'd be Expendable Spice. Well, anyway, we don't know. We'll find out. That's soon, though. We should know soon on that band, actually. So, funny thing you say that because this is right around the time that they do it. So that's why I believed you at first. However, last time it was late. They were only like 2-3 weeks ahead and they announced
it. They were, yeah.
So we'll see.
Which makes me think that somebody else was in the works and bowed out or.
They couldn't get him or something.
Couldn't get him or something, yeah.
Yeah, I always try to think who Morheim or Frank Pierce or one of the founder people are really into. And then I think they try to get them and then can't. And sometimes they do get them. Like they got Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
And they got, who was the other one? They wanted Ozzy real bad that one year.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they got him. That was 2009 or 10.
Jeez, Ozzy would be incredible, yeah.
Yeah, he was he 2009? I think he was 2009.
That was before I started going. I missed Foo Fighters, Ozzy, Metallica. Missed all that.
I saw Foo Fighters. I've been 2011 and forward. Nothing prior to that.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll see. It's all coming up. Hey, I got a thing for you. Oh, by the way, how did it go yesterday? The dog and all? Did everything go okay?
She went very peacefully and painlessly, and we could tell instantly that the suffering that she'd been going through. I mean, you can tell when a dog is suffering because they breathe really heavy, really fast.
Yeah.
And
they don't have a way to really tell you, but
they
just, you know, you can tell when they're miserable. Sure.
Exactly. So we could tell instantly, you know, when she finally passed away, we knew that she was finally out of that suffering, and as difficult as it was to do, we knew it was the right move. It was the best thing. And so there we go.
This is going to sound silly, but Don Bluth taught us all that all dogs go to heaven.
He did. And then he cut off Buster's arm or Buster's hand
or whatever he did. But yes. anyway, so that his name isn't Don though, is it?
No.
What is it? George Bluth.
George Bluth.
Yeah, the famous animator George Bluth cutting off his son's hand.
Right, exactly. That you finally get the reference.
Yeah, it took me a second. Anyway, so
there's money in the secret of Nim.
Yes, exactly. So wind to your back, little doggy. That's a bummer. Thanks. However,
it's funny because our other dog doesn't seem to
notice?
Seem to care. when Daisy was a puppy, the two of them would interact a lot.
Yeah.
And they would wrestle and she'd take Ruby down and all that. But in the more recent years, Ruby was, kind of rude. I hate speaking ill of the dead, but Ruby was kind of rude to Daisy. Like she'd bulldoze through her to get outside. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was that Ruby couldn't see as well. Like she was losing her sight and by then pretty much lost her sight. So she just bulldozed through Daisy to go outside and go to the food and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like
old people do, they don't care anymore.
Ruby had zero Fs left.
Yeah. All the Fs had gone. I understand that. And so the other dog's not reacting, but it's not like it's rejoicing in the loss of the other dog. It's just ambivalent about it. Like it's not
exactly
really happening.
Right. Yeah. I think she thinks that Ruby's at grandma and grandpa's house because that's where that's when the two of them have been separated. That's where she would usually be when the two of them were separated.
I wonder if there'll ever be like a moment though where she'll noticeably
maybe,
you know what I mean? Like notice that the other dog is gone. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. She did smell us like frantically and furiously smell us when we came back from the vet. Like,
oh yeah. Cause you smell like a thousand dogs that had come before.
Yeah. I think it was that, or maybe that was the point. She's like, oh, okay, cool. Got it.
Okay. Well, we knew it was coming anyway. Food.
Yeah, exactly. Get a treat.
Yeah.
Bring me anything.
Like Tom's dog, they had the two dogs, and then when they had to put one of their dogs down, the other one moped around for weeks and was sad and, you know, like all that. So you just never know. I guess it just depends
on exactly
how those dogs were. Well, yesterday I did a thing that I think all owners should do with their dogs. And so here's my recommendation, folks. Everybody around them has some place they can go to get dip cones. I don't care where it is. We have this this chain that's kind of local, I think, called Arctic Circle. And they do, you know, burgers, fries, and shakes, and all that kind of stuff. And they've been around forever. And honestly, their food is kind of hideous. It's never been good. But the ice cream cones and stuff are fine. It's real ice cream. There's nothing wrong with them. And in high school, we used to call them brown toppers when you'd get the...
Really?
Yeah.
The chocolate dip?
Yeah, yeah, we call them brown toppers, and we thought we were being real funny because to us, it was like a funny little poo reference or whatever, but...
They do kind of look like a poop emoji on a cone.
A little bit, yeah. You just put eyes on it and a smile, and you're done.
Right.
So we took the kids, that is to say Carter and Nick, and then my wife and I in the car, and we took Daisy. We took Rainer with us. Jim Rayner, the female dog, and we put her in the car, and she's excited. She loves being in the car, can't wait. She knows it's always a good time in there. So she's flipping out, putting her head out the window, you know, looking at everything, trying to figure out life. We get to the place, and it occurs to us, we're getting ice cream. That's why we're out. So we got cones for everybody, dipped cones, and we ordered them as, by the way, brown toppers, and he knew what we meant.
He didn't ask, like, what the hell's a brown topper?
Nope, he went for brown toppers.
Somebody left a brown topper in the men's room yesterday, and I was the one who ended up having to clean it up.
That's right. We used to call that an upper decker, but now we call it a brown. So we get the brown toppers coming, and Kim thinks, hey, you know what would be fun? Let's get Rainer a little something. So she gets Rainer what they have there is I don't know if it's a tester cone. I think it costs like 25 cents, but it's a small...
child's cone or something?
Yeah, yeah, very small... but it's still big enough to be sort of substantial. It's not tiny, tiny, but it's like a cone with the just vanilla on top, right? And it's still soft serve. And decided to give this to Rainer in the car. That was glorious. It was the most fun time because she's never seen anything like it. She's not used to having something cold in her mouth like
right,
that.
Right, yes. Ice cream, the first time a dog experiences ice cream. I do remember this being a funny thing. Yeah,
it's awesome. And she went to town on that thing and just looked at us like we were the greatest people she'd ever known. And then she'd lick the cone out until there was nothing but cone left and then realized you could eat the cone. And she didn't know that. And then it was
what?
Like
this too?
Oh, she was so freaking excited. I've never seen her so happy. So
Captain Kipper asks in the chat room, is chocolate bad for dogs?
Oh, well, we didn't
wanted to like know.
Yeah, I didn't. We didn't do the brown topper for Rainer. We just did the vanilla. So
just a regular. Yeah. Well, and plus, I think that there's so little actual chocolate in chocolate dip.
Yeah. The question is, are dogs allergic to chocolate flavored wax?
Whatever it is that they use.
Yeah, like freaking camel earwax. They cultivate and turn into chocolate toppers. I don't know.
Right.
But no, I wouldn't, even then I wouldn't risk it because I've had, I think I've told you about the time we got brand new carpet in our old house. Daisy was our dog at the time. She got into a box of chocolates that was like one of those Valentine's boxes.
Oh, yeah.
She just barfed and shat all over the house all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand new carpet. We were all gone. Come home. It was like the Galapagos Islands in there. It was so bad, Brian.
Left so much stuff all over the place. Oh,
it was so bad. So anyway, do that. It's fun. The dog loved it. She was in heaven. It was wonderful. So
cool.
We did that
cool.
Memory of your aww, poor Ruby passing.
That's it's like pouring out a 40-ouncer, right? You just basically gave the dog a cone.
Yep. That's right. Give the dog a cone.
Knick-knack, paddywhack, give the dog a cone.
I'm going to make a t-shirt that says, give the dog a cone. There you go. Yep.
Nice.
It's not bad. All right. I got a little fun thing for you.
Okay. I saw this link and I did not click it.
Okay. Don't click this link. This is Stephen King, brand new movie coming out this weekend called It. You may have heard of It. Some would say IT. They think it's about
it's about tech support. It's Geek Squad.
Yeah. It's a haunted server room.
A little bit of a horror show.
Yeah. Look out. That rack, that server rack over there might be haunted. Ooh. No, it's not that at all. It's about a town and a bunch of kids who stumble onto a supernatural evil, and that's all I'll say because I don't want to spoil it. The book is amazing. I read it multiple times in my young years and again as an adult, and it's still one of the scariest books I ever read. But it also has some heart. It's a good book for... there's almost like a Spielbergian coming-of-age tale in that book as well. The kids are all... it's that thing. It's like Super 8. They're all like 12 and... discovering life together, and they're on an adventure. It's also scary as shit, but it's also about these kids and growing up and what friendship means and all that stuff. So in a way, it's Stand By Me. It's mm-hmm. It's a hundred other things like that, kind of.
Yeah, which is another Stephen King.
Oh, that's right. It's his short story. Yeah. I always forget that.
Yeah.
So it's getting killer reviews. People are really think it's great. That makes me very happy. In fact, if I look at Rotten Tomatoes this morning, the current rating for it is at 88%, which is way into the tomato cool. Fresh rating.
Which is far better than that Inhumans thing.
Yeah, the Inhumans thing, not so much.
Oh,
right?
I guess we talked about that yesterday. Yeah,
yeah, that thing's not doing so great. There are two movies actually out this weekend that both sound like they're great. There's that, and then there's this movie called Antimatter, which I had not heard of.
Hmm.
It's a science fiction thing that's kind of small, but people are saying it's amazing, and it's 92%. People are really digging that.
Oh, really? Could this be like the new Primer?
Ooh, hey, that's funny you'd say that, because that's a lot of the reviews are referencing Primer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's some kind of portal hole opening stuff going on that goes awry. Okay. And you know how Primer was just sort of tearing everybody to pieces, even though
you
always respected it for its time travel crap.
Absolutely. Yep.
So maybe this is the next one of those, and everyone keeps saying, "Oh, this is much like Primer."
So. Oh, that's funny. Well, cool. We might have to go out and see a movie this weekend.
Here you go. So it sitting at 88. It's not too many reviews yet. 104. There'll be more certainly as the weekend wears on. But things say, I'll say, like, here's a good example. Despite the many terrifying moments in this movie, they endure in their quest. Scenes that will leave you trembling and giggling at once. It is even more powerful in the warm, easy camaraderie between the young stars. That makes me very happy to hear that, because that to me is more what that movie's about than it is about a scary clown.
That was the secret sauce of Stranger Things. And so it looks like they've figured it out. You know, maybe that had some influence, like, oh, so Stranger Things was good, not because we had a scary thing and the upside down and Barb sitting on a swimming pool and blah, blah, blah. It was good because of how real it felt for these four kids to be friends and trying to get the fourth one back from the underworld.
Sure, the kids provided a vessel for us to inhabit, and we could see the world through their eyes, and we felt for them and all that. And that is definitely part of the book. So it's nice to see. I don't want to get personal here, Stephen King, but it's nice to see one of your awesome books getting the proper treatment. this
we won't mention anything else that was.
Yeah, it's really
maybe not so good.
Really bugs me. But anyway, so there's the point of that. And I got to thinking, Stephen King, lots of movies, been doing this for a while, books and then movies. And I'm wondering what you think, without looking at this link.
Sure.
What would you put, let's say, near the top of your Stephen King adaptations? And then what would you put at the bottom? Because I have the 40 worst to best.
Oh, wow. Okay.
According to, now, again, this is not according to me, but according to vulture.com, these are their listings of the worst. And I think I agree with most of them. I mean, I might swap a couple around, but for the most part. So I want to know where you're at.
Do they do the non-horror ones like Shawshank and Stand By Me and
Green Mile? Oh, that's a really good question. Let me just double check. They include
those.
Apt Pupil, Green Mile. Okay. That kind of stuff.
Well, I'm throwing Shawshank at the very top.
All right, so you're going to put Shawshank in the top. Got it.
Because it's one of my favorite movies of all time anyway, regardless of Stephen King or not. I would put Green Mile probably second.
All right, Green Mile. All right, you know what I'm going to tell you as you go? Shawshank they have as number 4.
Okay.
Green Mile they have as number 14. So they've actually bumped that
pretty,
one up
pretty low on the list. Surprisingly lower than I would expect.
Sure.
I would put Stand By Me. You mentioned that one. I'd put that up in the top 10.
Yeah, they put it at 7. Well done.
Okay. Okay, even though I wasn't included in the film, I would put The Shining up there. I think it's a great, I don't know how well it adapts the book. But it's a horror movie that holds up, as we found on FilmSec.
It really did. Totally held up.
I'd put that up there as
well. They put that as number 1 here.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. They really like The Shining.
They like The Shining. So what would you put it now? What would you put it like the bottom?
At the very bottom. Yeah. It would be stuff like Christine and Cujo. Oh, what was the one with the Green Goblin truck? Maximum Overdrive. I think Maximum Overdrive belongs at the very bottom of that list.
Ding, 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 ding. They have put Maximum Overdrive at the very bottom of this list.
I swear to God. I admit I'm looking at a list of Stephen King movies. Yeah. I'm not looking at your list. I'm looking at just a generic list.
Yeah. No order, no particular order.
Basically, it's the Google Stephen King movies where it gives you just like all of them.
Yeah. What else would you put in the bottom 10? I forgot he did some of these.
I'm going to confess that I've never seen Dead Zone.
Oh, Dead Zone's great.
I would actually put Carrie up probably middle.
Yeah, they put Carrie pretty high up. I want to say in the Carrie at number 2.
What?
Yep.
Carrie better than The Green Mile?
That's
come
what
on.
Got.
Now.
They've got Carrie at 2. They've got Dead Zone at 3.
It's iconic. I mean, the shot of Sissy Spacek with the pig's blood all over and stuff is iconic.
Sure.
All right, I'd put Thinner pretty low.
Thinner
is fat suit.
Well, you know what? Here, I'll tell you the rest of the top 10, and that way you'll get these out of your head. Right. So number 10, they have The Running Man.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that in this list. I forget that that's Stephen King because I...
Short story or something, right?
Yeah, right.
Richard Bachman joint. At 9, they have 1408. Which came out in 2007. It's that John Cusack, Sam Jackson.
Oh, is that the room? Like it's a hotel room.
Yeah. He's a writer, specialized in paranormal. See, suicidally insane. Cusack's sitting in that room. Reality slowing, evolving. Yeah, I've never seen it, but I want to.
Never seen it either.
Be a good film set.
Which is surprising because it seems like we watch everything John Cusack does in this house.
Yeah, totally. Number 8, they put It, the miniseries from the 90s, they put that at number 8.
That not being very good.
I thought it was pretty.
That was,
people liked
what's
that.
What's his face from the Waltons, right?
It was John Boy with a mole.
John Boy, that's right.
All I remember, he's like the, you know what he's like? He's like the Aaron Neville of TV. I just remember the mole. That's all I can remember.
Right.
But yeah, they put that at 8. At number 7, Stand By Me, which we talked about. Number 6, they put Creepshow.
Well, he only did 1/4 of that.
Well, it was him and Romero, but didn't he write all of it?
Did he? Okay, did he write them all? I thought that there were 4. I thought there was like true anthology, 4 different writers, 4 different segments.
Let's see.
And he just wrote the segment with the meteor with all the moss on it that starts turning everything mossy.
It says one of these. It looks like they co-wrote all of them.
Okay, all right.
Oh, there's one that featured Leslie Nielsen trying to kill Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Why haven't we watched that for
Ted
film
Danson
sec?
Was cheating with Leslie Nielsen's wife, I think.
Yeah. We need to watch this for
Why
film
haven't
sec.
We watched
I
Creep
don't
Show
know.
For film sec.
I don't know. All I remember of Creepshow is that Stephen King was a plant in one of them. In one of the
that was,
bits.
Yeah.
Where he
right.
got
and
all
there was
hairy.
And there was a werewolf in a box or something, like in a crate under the stairs.
Oh, I don't remember that. That's where I keep mine. Where do you keep yours? Where do you keep your werewolf?
That's pretty much right. That's where I keep my werewolves and my Harry Potters.
But never at the same time. Don't put them in the
never,
same.
Never at the same time, yeah.
He's the boy who lived. Come on. Let's see. Misery at number 5. I always forget about Misery, but it's there.
Oh, yeah. Misery, of course. Yeah.
Shawshank.
That movie loves company.
Yeah, for sure. Well, here's its company. Shawshank Redemption at 4, 3, The Dead Zone, and 2, Carrie, and then, of course, number 1, The Shining. So
Christine, Cujo. I've still never seen The Dead Zone, but we've got it on our list for Film Sack, so I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I really like Cujo. I surprisingly like Cujo. I forgot
Dolores Claiborne was a Stephen King deal, too.
Yeah, it's a book that I did not read, but
mm-hmm.
Let's see. All right, so at number 40, Maximum Overdrive, you nailed it.
Yeah,
39. They give it to The Mangler from 95. I don't remember this at all.
There's going to be a lot of these. I'm looking through this list like The Night Flyer, and sometimes they come back. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, never heard of most of this.
Graveyard Shift. I remember the book Graveyard Shift. Don't remember there being a movie.
I remember Graveyard Shift looking like the cover of it was ripped off from the Freddy Krueger cover because it looks like there's claws on the skull head.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I remember seeing that movie. We're in like a Blockbuster and going, what the hell's going on there? There's something called Riding the Bullet from 2004.
Mm. Oh, and then there's Silver Bullet, right?
Oh, yeah, Silver Bullet. Yeah, they have that at 35. Sleepwalkers at 36.
Lawnmower Man?
It's
got to be low.
Let's see. Lawnmower Man... trying to find it. It's got to be low, right? Well, here's 34.
Oh, yeah. Children of the Corn. It's got to be low, too.
They did sell in 2016. That's one of my favorite books.
Oh, I didn't. That was a TV adaptation,
oh,
right? I don't remember that being a a theater movie.
Let's see. The second teaming up of John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson in a King movie crashes and burns in a dumb cautionary tale about, well, just about cell phones are going to kill us all by sending a signal that turns out to be murderous. I like the book
Cusack
a lot.
That was Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson in Cell?
Yeah, and that was last year, and I don't remember it coming out.
I don't remember it either. I could have sworn that was...
That bums me out.
That was...
I liked the book. It was fine. It was kind of an early, like he wrote that in like 2002 or something. And it was before smartphones. So it was all flip phones. And this, the phones all sent the signal. And they never explain exactly why, which I kind of liked. But if you answered the phone right then, you got a signal to your brain that turned you into a rage monster. And you would just kill everybody.
Wasn't it nanobots or something?
No, it was just some sound.
That was another one, though, with animals. Is it Prey?
Oh, it may have been Prey. Yeah. No, you've got that right.
That hasn't been turned into a movie.
Did he write the one where they send in the floaters? What's that one?
Oh, that's
with Gene Simmons in it?
Yes, and Emilio Estevez, Free Jack.
No,
I'm sorry. Sending the floaters was Tom Selleck.
Oh, Tom Selleck, yeah. Selleck and the bad guy was Gene Simmons, and they sent in these robots. And I think, wasn't that a Stephen King thing? Maybe not.
Yeah. Oh, Prey was Crichton. That's right, Lesarge. Yes, I was. Yeah.
Oh, Prey is Crichton. You're right. Right. Yep. Dolan's Cadillac in 2009. Never heard of it.
Nope.
Cat's Eye 85. Heard of that.
Sure. Actually, I really like that anthology. And that's as soon as that's streaming, we're throwing that in the list.
There you go. Needful Things in 93. They put it 31. Creepshow 2 in 1997, or 87 rather. That's at 30. The Night Flyer. What the hell is that? Okay, that's another one. Firestarter in 84. Dreamcatcher, Dark Tower at 26. Yikes.
Oh.
That's such a bummer, dude. It makes me sick just thinking about it. I hate that was so half-assed.
Hold on, that's at 26. So let's hear what some of the ones are right above Dark Tower. Like movies, Stephen King movies. Oh yeah, The Mist I forgot about too.
Yeah.
Stephen King movies that are slightly better than Dark Tower.
All right, Pet Sematary is the next one. The Dark Half. Which is in came out in 93. Thinner, which didn't we watch that, or we should
we
watch
did,
that?
We did, yeah, the horrible fat suit.
Oh, so, right.
Yeah, they the gypsy curse. There you go.
Yeah.
Thinner, better than Dark Tower. Oh.
That's so dumb. The Good Marriage, No Smoking, Cujo, they put at 20. Hearts in Atlantis, I always forget about that, was at 19. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. 18, Carrie, the TV one, or no, the more modern one.
The Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, the Let the Right One In Lady girl. No, she's not that girl.
She's the kick-ass girl.
Kick-ass girl, yeah. The one whose child they potentially ruined by making her say the most foul things I've ever heard come out of a girl's mouth. I really like her, though. She's interesting.
I do, too. Yeah.
Secret Window, then Children of the Corn, Christine, The Green Mile at 14.
Wow, Christine just under The Green Mile?
Yeah.
And somebody has not watched Christine in a while because that's...
Doesn't hold up.
Does not hold up. No. I mean, it didn't even hold up back then.
Yeah, it's a car, dude. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Also, The Mist at 12 and Green Mile at 14, I would be okay if they swapped those two. Even though I really like The Mist, I don't think The Mist is two positions better than The Green Mile.
Mm, yeah.
I did like The Mist, though, a lot. The Mist is basically the entire cast of the first two seasons of The Walking Dead.
It really is.
Yeah, which is great.
With the exception of Rick, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it is interesting that Frank Darabont movies, all of the ones he has done of adaptations of Stephen King books are all in the top 20. So that's kind of cool. Mm. The Running Man, we already talked about, and there's your top 10. So yeah, it's funny how closely I think you and I actually got it, because we know a poopy movie when we see it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And that's
kind of funny that even owning the movie in the summer movie draft wasn't enough for to get either one of us to go see Dark Tower.
No, you're totally right. And it's
you're a big fan of the Dark Tower.
It's my favorite book series of all time. Of all time, of all books, of all ever. And I read books a lot, and I love that series so much, and I can't bring myself to do it. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I trust too many people that have told me to stay away, and I'm waiting for a TV thing or something better. It's got to get better.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We have a fan send something in that I want to play before we move on to the news.
Cool.
Jamie Brand. I got this morning from Jamie Brand in my email. Didn't know what to expect. Apparently, he's been collecting sounds I make. And this is going to be as bad as you think it is. And
great. All right, cool.
In a good way, of course, but it's horrifying. So I want to play it now. I want to thank him for this. It's 46 seconds, but I know it took him a long time to make it. Here is me in all the wrong context, making terrible sounds. Here you go. Ow. Oh, I farted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Nelly.
Oh, thank you. Can I have another?
No. Oh, yes. Oh. Hubba, hubba. Red pop.
New.
Woo! Yes! Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Ear chips.
Yeah, poo candy. Don't forget to bring a towel.
When did I ever say poo candy?
I don't know, but I really probably because we had those donkey nuggets.
Oh,
we probably we probably eaten those right before that segment. So this is wow. So it's every time you play that fart thing at the end of the news intro.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that's really funny.
That's so funny.
Anyway, well done, Jamie Brand. I don't know where you came from or who you are, but you've done it. So well done. All right, it's time for the news. It's the news brought to you by...
Are you or someone you know struggling with addiction or currently in recovery? Hammond Chamberlain from Beyond the Playlist and Soundography is launching a new podcast. This new show will provide not just information and education, it'll be a supportive community. This weekly podcast will give you the personal stories of inspiration, tools to help you continue on your sober living path no matter where you are in the process, and information from therapists that have been working in the field for over 20 years. Check out our show and website at climboutnetwork.com. That is, climb out to sobriety.
Ooh, good idea. Good time to be sober.
It is. It is a good time.
Or maybe it's sober. A really good time to get drunk. I'm just saying.
I don't know, but in like a month from yesterday, I'm going to a month from today, going to the Great American Beer Fest, that day where I do nothing but consume beer 1 ounce at a time from sorts of different vendors.
I always love hearing stories when you get back from that.
Yeah.
And probably one of our stories today will be of interest to you about that.
Oh, good. All right. Can't wait.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a minute. Utah Hospital has this to say to police. Okay. Everyone has heard internationally about the thing that happened here in Salt Lake City, where a police officer was demanding a blood sample from a victim that was currently in a coma. Mm-hmm. The nurse with all the paperwork in tow said, actually, we're not legally bound nor able, because of both policy and agreement and law, to give you that stuff. So she showed this was all videotaped, not by anyone else but the police officer in question, because he's wearing a body cam. The whole thing got filmed. She stood her ground, doing exactly what she should do to protect the victim, and they arrested her. And forcibly. It was rough. And the whole thing's caught on video, and it caused a huge freaking freak out stir. In fact, if it wasn't for two horrible hurricanes and a bunch of dumb political stuff, this probably would be like the lead story on every news channel website. So in the end of it all, the officer or two were put on paid leave, and then, you know, pending investigation like you always do and all that stuff. And she was being hailed as a hero. She could have sued. She decided not to. Just a nice lady trying to do her job at this hospital. Well, now the University of Utah Hospital, this is where my daughter actually works up there. In fact, was there when it happened, not in that hospital, but she works up near there. That University Hospital, which, by the way, is a renowned hospital. It's a place we did the first artificial heart, that Jarvis heart thing happened there. Right. It's
Barney Clark.
Yep. Remember all that? That was feels like forever ago. I guess it kind of was.
It really does. It was forever ago.
Yeah. You don't hear about artificial hearts anymore. I wonder if it's dying art. But anyway, they're famous for all sorts of stuff, and big time doctory things go on there. So anyway, she protected the legal rights of the patient. Oh, the worst part about that is everybody assumed that the patient being protected was the bad guy, and they were trying to get stuff from him. But the story came out that they were in a police high-speed chase with a suspect who was fleeing, and in the accident, they caused a head-on accident. The high-speed chase ended up resulting in a high-speed head-on accident, head-on collision. And in that collision, the guy in the other car was a was a off-duty police officer from Idaho. He was the one who was in the bed in a coma recovering and that she was protecting, not this suspect. So what they were trying to do was gather evidence erroneously, as the theory goes, to try to see if they could figure out a way to pin this accident on them so they weren't going to get pinned for, you know, this reckless endangerment stuff, which happens.
Wow, okay.
So it got worse and more weird.
Oh, jeez. The more layers you pulled away. Yeah, no kidding.
And he's just this guy. And the Idaho Police Department, like, publicly thanked this woman and said, you've really mm-hmm. done. So it really put these officers in, like, a shithole. Mm-hmm. So now, Gordon Crabtree, interim chief executive at the hospital, said on Monday in a news conference that he was deeply troubled by the arrest and manhandling of burn unit nurse Alex Wubbles, I don't know how you say her name, on July 26th. In accord with the hospital policy and the law, she had refused to allow Salt Lake City police officer to take the blood sample from an unconscious patient. She obtained a copy of the body cam video of the confrontation, and after consulting her lawyer, the hospital and police released it last week, which was why we didn't see it in July.
Right.
Anyway, he says, this will not happen again. He praised her for putting her own safety at risk and protecting the rights of her patients. And now it is hospital policy to not allow police officers into the public areas there without absolute cause.
Into the public area or into the private areas?
Into the public area. So like where they receive patients and have the ER areas and all that stuff, they're no longer allowed to come in there without either express permission or probable cause. They have to, you know, they have to show cause or they can't do
it. Jeez, that's huge.
And if you watch that video, it is infuriating.
Mm-hmm. It really is, yeah.
I mean, it could not have pissed off me and my local constituents more. They're not mm-hmm. my constituents. People like me. Other local Salt Lakers were very upset.
You and your peers.
Yeah, well, not cool. And I love and respect what police do, and I want them to do it and be safe in doing it and do good jobs and all that stuff. But every once in a while, freaking bad egg in the basket, man, shits it all up for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. F that guy. And fire him, by the way, and quit paying him. That'd be the next thing I'd do. I know it's policy.
Yeah.
But I hate that they're being paid right now. Anyway, there's another story here about a mom. She's not thrilled that her teen daughter's new mobile number used to belong to an escort.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's not good. Do you ever get a phone number, like a cell number, where it was...
That it belonged to somebody else? No, I've been really lucky. I think I got in so early on my number because mm-hmm. they added a new area code out here when they ran out of 303s. They added 720. Mm. And I think I was just getting my Palm Trio or something right around that time.
Yeah.
And got in on one of the first 720, not one of the first, but in that early batch of 720 numbers.
You just hung on to it.
Yeah. 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 I've had the same cell number for couple decades.
I used to have a really awesome one. I won't say what it is out loud, but it was so easy to remember and say. And my buddy Andrew talked me into selling it to him for $50.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, I regret it. I mean, it worked out well for him because it's his business number now. He's a realtor, and it's perfect. Like, it's perfect.
Can you see it on bus benches and stuff now?
Oh, totally. Yeah, and he has a truck he drives around with. It's written on the side of it. And it annoys me a little that I got so little for it. I should have charged him.
I'm so old, my cell phone number was 1.
I mean, at the time, I didn't really see the value in it, but now I really wish I had it. Mine's okay, but...
Dang, $50.
Yeah.
It's just like your $50 courthouse. You went $50 Sprint store.
Mm-hmm. It's really dumb. But my new one's fine. It's fine. Mm.
But anyway,
so here's the deal. they were deeply troubled, or she was deeply troubled, because the new number actually is a recycled number that previously belonged to at least one other person. Let's see. She has to tell people when they call that she's not Pebbles. That's the person who the escort that used to use the phone number.
which is ironic because she preferred Bam Bam.
Yep. Well, it's better than Mr. What was the name of the guy that ran the plant? That ran the job that Fred went to every day?
Mr. Slate?
Yeah, as long as Mr. This is Mr. Slate. I'll be right over. CBS Chicago has the story where this happened. She purchased it from T-Mobile. Her 13-year-old daughter got the number. Not only did it once belong to an escort, but that number is still listed online in that escort's contact information. My daughter called me at my office and said, "Someone is calling and asking for Pebbles," explains the mom, who says the callers left voicemails and texts saying things like, "Where are you? Where can I meet you? Where do you live?" Ugh.
Yeah. You know what? As bad as that is, it could be far worse with messages that they'd be leaving for an escort.
Oh, totally.
"I've got a glass table. I'd like to lay underneath it and have you stand squat on top of it. is that something that you do?
Are you familiar with the Cleveland Steamer? Could you get over here?"
Yeah. I don't like any of this. It says if you do a quick Google search of the girl's number, which they don't list, it turns up multiple ads for the escort service.
Yeah. Yeah, well, T-Mobile should absolutely waive whatever costs they're involved with changing a number for her. That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Maybe that's why they call her Pebbles.
And geez, I'm scared to think what made Pebbles change her number in the first place.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly. Why would they? If she's still a working escort,
yeah,
chances are that was because some threat happened or she had to get away from some stalker or something.
Even worse, yeah.
Oh, I'm building a whole narrative in my head about this. I got a whole story to tell.
Ugh.
Final story. This is for you going to your beer deal.
Great.
When is that? Is that in September?
In October. It's October 7th at the convention center here in Denver.
But it's not a literal Oktoberfest, though, right? It's just something.
No.
Okay.
It just happens to take place in October. This is the 26th year of it, but it's basically a chance for microbreweries all around the United States to come to one place, compete. There's like the American Homebrewers Association, which it's funny because these are all like actual brewers, not homebrewers, not people with, making beer and a still in their backyard. Thank goodness. But they actually do ratings and crown a winner. And this is the event where Samuel Adams won in one of the first ones. And that guy made all those commercials about, "I'm the winner of the first Great American Beer Fest. And my beer's got a head so thick, you can stick a bottle, you can float a bottle cap on top of it," or whatever.
I remember that. Yeah. So do you help vote or you just are there to consume?
No, I help drink.
And you don't even this is the point though. You don't really drink beer.
I don't. No, this is like the one day a year where I drink beer. But what's great is that here are my problems with beer. I don't like the second half of the bottle.
Oh.
I'm fine with the first half because it's usually still ice cold and beer, ice cold beer. That's the way to have it. And you get it 1 ounce at a time. It's an ice cold 1 ounce of beer. You drink it, you move on to the next one, and every sip is ice cold and tastes different.
Sure. Do you ever...
And there's always TMS listeners and Coverville listeners there, too.
Oh, that's always good. Yeah, running into people's cool. Mm-hmm. But do you ever... Is there such thing as an alcoholic beverage that's better served warm or room temperature or something? Or is ice cold always the way to go?
Well, I mean... your shots, like your whiskeys and your bourbons and things like that are usually served room temperature.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, anything that's not a mixed cocktail is usually served.
Yeah. Chat room says hot toddy, but I didn't realize those were temperature hot. I thought,
well, then you're going hot, right?
I mean, which is, not the same as.
Right. Wine, of course, is. Usually served room temperature, unless it's a white, you usually chill a white, but you don't necessarily chill reds.
Yeah.
Hey,
did you know what the temperature inside of a Tauntaun is?
No, is there an actual number?
You ready? It's lukewarm.
Oh, God. Why? How did I walk right into that? Oh, my God.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. But I love telling that joke. It's one of my favorite dumb, stupid jokes, and I'll tell it until I die. Oh, some sort of
doorbell.
Oh, doorbell. Who you got?
UPS just dropped something off. And we're watching the guy walk right across our lawn. Sidewalk is 2 feet to his right, but he's just going to walk right across our lawn.
Oh, that's pretty good. I want to know what you got, so you'll have to report after a minute.
I will. I'll grab it during. It's not going to be very entertaining.
Well, we'll see.
But I'll grab it during the song break. How's that?
Sounds good. And also, from now on, refer to me as Pebbles.
Okay. That's all right, Pebbles.
It's my new Westport name.
That works.
Final story is about you going to your beer thing. If you want to get shoes that are both vomit and beer proof, although it says beef proof still here.
I know. It's funny.
Maybe I just copied and pasted it. This is your chance. Oktoberfest, Munich's famous beer festival, officially kicks off in a couple of weeks' time. And to celebrate, sports giant Adidas is bringing a brand new shoe to the market. Local tradition and global institution, it is one of the largest festivals in the world, with people flocking to Germany in droves to soak up the cool atmosphere and beer. But with all that beer swilling going on, you could be soaking up more than you bargained for. Luckily, Adidas has decided to help get the celebrations off to on the right foot. With a shoe that's not inspired by any traditional German garb, but also completely beer and vomit repellent. Made from
isn't that what clogs are basically for?
Yeah, like wooden shoes are good for that, right?
Yeah, right. So it's made 3D print myself some clogs.
There you go. Get some filament and go for it. Made from the finest leather, the Adidas Munchen is prepared for almost anything that could go wrong during the jovial drinking festivities. So no matter what you feel like dropping on those things, you're safe.
It'll repel them.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird idea, but
yeah,
it's fine.
You know, it never in the whatever 10 years that I've been going to Great American Beer Fest, I've never seen anybody throw up.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, it's because you guys just do the little sips, right? It's all just...
Yeah, but you're doing like 100 of them.
Yeah, that's true.
You're doing little sips over 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should do a costume this year. A few years ago, I wore Lederhosen.
Yeah.
Because it was the same year I was going as Augustus Gloop for Halloween, so it worked out well to just reuse that whole outfit for both.
Worst public vomit I ever witnessed was a guy at BlizzCon in the main hall there.
Oh, in the hall?
Yeah, right. In fact, Randy was there. It was right in front of the ask questions desk that they used to do.
Yeah, right there at the front.
Yeah,
right.
Somebody had just walked out there. It was the night after Friday, I guess, so it was like Saturday, and the guy was, you know, hung over to hell and back and just lurched all over the freaking place.
You are not proverbial.
Oh my gosh, I've been hearing a lot of Illidan's voice lately.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. And Argus,
and,
sure.
Yeah, I've been playing WoW and also, you know, Heroes, and he's always Heroes, that, and
sure.
He's just, I got Liam O'Brien everywhere in my life. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We got a quick Therapy Thursday to do today. It's going to be good. It's all about dealing with religious divisions in families, which can be fun to discuss. So we're going to discuss that. But before that, Brian brought an independent song in the middle.
I did. We're going to look at a band called Traveler. They are from Scotland. Jerry Sheridan on lead vocals and guitar and piano. Martin Eves on lead guitar and backing vocals. Brian Soka on bass, and Simon Usher on drums, backing vocals, and piano. They formed actually in January of last year and released a debut EP called All This Time last August. And since then, they've been working on this brand new album, which comes out September 22nd, comes out in a couple weeks. So make sure you check it out. First band I thought of when I heard this was The Fix. I don't know why, but they kind of remind me of The Fix. This is from their upcoming album, which will be titled Been Waiting. This is the title track. Here is Been Waiting by Traveler.
You came.
Dear listeners at home, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Opinion Outpost. Market research is a $50 billion industry per year. Can you believe that? $50 billion. Companies need input from people like you before they launch new products and services. And that is where Opinion Outpost comes in. Opinion Outpost is run by SSI, one of the most trusted names in consumer research. Opinion Outpost connects companies with people like you through online surveys that give you the chance to tell companies how you think and feel about virtually everything, from products that are new to old to advertising to social issues to more. And since they know your time is valuable, Opinion Outpost rewards you with taking surveys, or by taking those surveys, you can earn cash, iTunes and Amazon gift cards, and much more. Surveys are accessible 24/7, so you can participate whenever you like. Your personal information remains private and secure, and it's free to sign up, no credit card required, and you can earn actual money just by sharing your opinion. I know you've got them. Time to share them. Sign up today at opinionoutpost.com/TMS and make your voice heard and start earning rewards. That's opinionoutpost.com/TMS. We thank them for sponsoring the show. Thanks, Opinion Outpost.
I got that!
Take your medication. There you are.
Thank you, nurse.
This is the Morning Stream, exercising demons since 2012.
All right, we're back. We're back, everybody. That was a lovely, lovely little song. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, you don't really hear country music that comes from Scotland. Not really country, but definitely Americana-influenced music.
Yeah, esque, you might say.
I wouldn't say that. No, somebody might.
Sure would not. Hey, you didn't. What'd you get in your package there? Did you get something cool?
I got coffee.
Oh.
Oh, I'm hearing echo. Am I hearing Wendy echo?
Oh, I don't know. Are you? You still hearing?
Oh, maybe not.
Okay.
I got coffee and all right, cards on the table. I got underwear.
Oh, underwear. Sweet. All right.
It was a really good deal on microfiber cotton briefs on Amazon a few days ago, so I picked some up.
Cotton wooden underwear. Perfect. Hey, everybody, what? Look at this. Look.
Something wrong, Batman? Has anybody seen Wendy?
I've seen Wendy. She's right there. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Sorry, we were talking about the UPS package Brian just got during the song there, the break. And,
that's right.
He had to go get it. He had coffee and underwear in there. So, two of life's essentials for Brian. Brian can't do anything without his morning coffee or his pair of underwear. So
this is true. Both things require both things to begin the day.
Yeah. Very well done. Hi, how are you? What's going on over there? Are you doing good?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm fine. I find that once, because you guys visited this summer, that I now regularly miss your children. Before, I feel like I'd kind of blocked it out a little bit. Plus, I talk to you every week, so it's no big deal. But
so not you, Wendy, but your kids.
Yeah.
It's your kids, Wendy.
It's your kids. And so spending time with your kids made me long to spend more time with your kids because they're awesome kids. Anyway. I look forward to the day I see them again. Wendy's here, of course, for Therapy Thursday. She comes on Thursdays and helps. She's an actual therapist and lowers herself to our level once a week to discuss the needs of our many listeners who may have questions. And today is no different. So we should just dive in. You sent me an email last night, or I guess this morning, night for you, morning for me, whatever it is, from a person. And I'm just going to read it. All right. So here it is. There's no name. It's just a person. Hi, Wendy. My husband and I were both raised in Southern Baptist churches. It was horrible and scarring. Okay, so right up front, we know how they feel about their time together there. Anyway, we vehemently disagree with their religion and teachings at a core level. However, we respect our family and their decisions. We never comment unless they try to involve us, which happens a lot more lately. The Southern Baptist way is to attempt to, quote, save your soul, unquote, by bringing you to church and having you ask your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins and come into your heart. At that point, you are a church member and you will be looked upon fondly unless you stop going. Then they need to do the same thing over again to make sure you repent. I didn't realize that. I thought the deal was that once you did the whole accepting that you were good and you could go like run an old lady over and you were still okay. Thought that was the deal, but
I don't think it's that forgiving. No,
yeah, I have to ask Dunaway. He's, he goes, so he may could tell me. Anyway, we have a son now, and they feel as if we are harming our son by not bringing that boy upright in the church. That is also a quote. This mentality makes me seethe with anger because I feel like it is a huge scare tactic to remain a sheeple. You know, don't rock the boat unless you want to burn in hell sort of stuff. I very strongly want to make sure that our son doesn't have that religious fear buried or burned into his brain. But I also want to maintain a close relationship with them that has mutual respect. So here is my question. How do I get them to understand and empathize with me on this? How do I make sure my son doesn't get indoctrinated? This one scares me the most. On TMS, you also mentioned a book recently, essentially that about evolving past your spiritual social situation. What was the name of that book? I can't find the episode. It was years back. Thank you, says anonymous person. So here we have the age-old generational religion gap. Kids don't want to necessarily fly the flag their parents did and are seeking to not have that influence be so strong and yet still retain relationships. Rough business. How do you deal, Wendy? What do you do?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they're pretty solid in their decision, and that the only complication is they brought a little human into the world, right? Like, if they never had a kid, it would just go on as like the established, hey, we're not in it, but like, cool for you guys.
Yeah. So, see you at Thanksgiving, but we're not.
Yeah.
Now that it's grand, now that there's a grandson. Yeah.
Sure.
There's a soul on the line.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really part of the challenge here is that as vehemently, is that not right? Vehemently? Whatever.
Vehemently.
Yeah. Vehemently.
Vehemently. Okay, whatever. That word that they believe that they don't want their kid to be involved in the church they grew up in, and they want to protect him from all this stuff. You know, it's equal to the, you know, sort of strength of will of those that are the believers, right? And so it is really hard. This is a, you know, everyone believes they're right. And you know, there's kind of a theme generally, I think, in the last 10 years, I don't know how long, where sort of like this ability to sort of respect that someone, you know, sort of the agree to disagree thing, or, okay, we're different. There's a mutual sort of respect that can be there. Feels like it's evaporated quite a bit. And so, you know, to some extent, this may be a reflection of some of why now this is harder. Now, I'm not saying this hasn't always been hard, I'm sure. And as a non-Southern Baptist, I don't know, of course, right?
Yeah.
My husband grew up in the South. He had lots of experiences with Southern Baptists that were interesting and then awesome, right? Just like all people, there's good and bad and every variety in between. But I just wonder, is this just, like she said, said it is of late that they've gotten more sort of intense. And I think that's sort of a thing that's, you know, like.
You think the larger culture is having palpable movement is what you're saying.
Yeah. And you may be thinking like, what? This is some, you know, totally different thing. How is that related? I think it's more of a matter of, I'm just going to say it. Like folks who believed one thing for a long, 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 long time, sort of have this layer of, you know, what am I trying to get at? But basically like a generosity for someone being different, like it's okay. We're all different. There was an okayness with some diversity that maybe has eroded a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though we disagree, or in this case, religion, I mean, religion, politics, there's areas where this will always be a fight. This will always, because it's so personal, right?
Yeah.
So like it's the attack on you as the person rather than, you know what, I like this theory of quantum physics. Well, I don't, you know,
it's the old use of the word tolerance was a thing that you would find far more. And it wasn't a pejorative. It was we have a belief system. It may not include these things, but we tolerate, in the best definition of possible of that, those who feel differently than us. And that has eroded some, I think. Right. And whether that's the word or not, I don't know.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it's the underlying thing I'm getting at that could, maybe this is totally unrelated to the more general picture, but is this fear, right? There's a fear-based existence that I think occurs when there's a religious difference, very naturally, because those that believe that this young baby child will go to hell. Now, if you really truly believe that, you're going to do whatever you can, because anyone in their right mind, if they believe that, would do everything they could to try to protect that kid.
Yeah.
And there's no changing that belief. That's what they believe.
Right.
Now, this person and her partner were raised and sort of taught those things, but they don't believe them. That's not, you know, they did not join the team. So as strongly as, you know, for them, it's religious conviction on the other side of, like, that stuff isn't true. And it's not how the world works. And so we're not afraid he's going to hell, but I am afraid that you people are going to ruin him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's fear. And I guess that's what I was trying to extract.
Sure. But also, like, I feel like this stuff intensifies right around the time that you have things like giant natural disasters. So right now we're in the midst of, you know, two of the biggest hurricanes on record, one that just finished its nasty, dirty, dark work, and the other one is about to. And that one looks like the monster of all monsters, like all of Florida's like freaking out. So it's really, really, really bad. And what happens is we have age old thing happens. One is, oh man, what the heck? And the other feeling during that time is, oh man, this is God's wrath because everyone's evil and this is a sign. Or some go as far as to say these are the end times or whatever. So you have all these ranges of religious and practical reaction to that stuff. And then you have a whole new wrinkle into that, which is almost like religion itself, which is a division of people who believe in the scientific evidence that the climate is changing and that we have some role in that. And then you have people who see that as heresy and fight against it. And oftentimes are the same people who think it's end times instead or an act of God. So I think that even adds more to a time like this where there's already these divisions. And then you have these major things that we feel like we don't have control over. And maybe that's where this is heading, is when people feel like they don't have control over something, that's when their fears really start to come out. And if you've spent your entire time, and I don't want to blanket the whole South in this, because I spent like 2.5 years in the South and I married a Southerner and I know I have Southern relatives and I know what that Baptist world is like. And like you said, it's diverse and we're wonderful people. And then there are some extremes, but it's for the most part pretty, you know, it's a range like anything else in life. But there's a part of it where every week you are told, hell and brimstone unless this. Worst possible thing unless you do this. And you and I got lucky and got raised on the gospel of Blaine, our dad.
Which is a terrible name.
It is an awful name.
As far as, like,
it's a horrible
branding,
name.
I'm just saying.
It's really, it's really a dumb name. But we've talked about it on the show before. You know, we grew up with some religion in our lives, but it was mostly his example of what he thought religion should be, which was drop everything and help someone who needs it, give money to people who don't have it, help somebody move because they didn't even ask, but you're just going to show up and help anyway. Like, his thing was, you know, somebody robbed you, yet you still go over and save his life because he had a drug overdose. Like, that was dad. And so our version of religion in the Johnson home was very different than a dogmatic one, or one where every week, you know, fear is put into you, or someone's rolling on the floor praising something because they've been saved, or anybody's getting healed or whatever. And so, having been exposed to both sides of that in my time in the South and then my time growing up, I realize I just have a point of view that's just very different. And so it's very hard for me to talk to somebody who's antagonistic about this, who's from that background, and explain to them that I don't think that you can just say I'm saved and then go do dumb stuff and then still be saved. Or I don't think, you know, like whatever the contrasting opinions are, that gets nowhere. It's like people are hardcore on those things. So if you're going to take like somebody's mom or dad, like in this person's case, where they're in their, I don't know how old they are. Let's say they're in their 60s. If they're in, they're in. It's burned in. They're done, right? Like they're not, how many people change their minds at that stage? So now the trick is just how do you maintain it and not feel these feelings of like resentment and anger and distrust and all of that and still keep family ties? Like, oh, I don't know. I feel for him because this just hasn't been a problem for us. It's a little bit of a problem on my in-laws' side, but not entirely. Like for the longest time, there's a little personal note from the other day. For the longest time, I felt judged by my mother-in-law because of my...
No one would have guessed.
My style of parenting and the way Kim and I do things as a team don't exactly jive with her in terms of her general way of doing things. And by that, I mean she's very judgmental of small things. And if you say the word crap, you've done a terrible thing. And, you know, things like that. Real... things that I think, look at and go, whatever, crap. And she's like, oh, that word, you know, like she's that sensitive to it. So I spent a lot of time feeling judged by her when we would do things like, oh, Taylor got her ears pierced at 12, or Carter's reading a science fiction book instead of, you know, the Bible or something. Those kinds of moments were always awkward, lame, and irritating. I learned to just sort of laugh it off, but, you know, it created a bunch of pressure. And the other day, she sat me down and told me how grateful she was that we have the parenting style we have because the kids have all turned out real good so far. I mean, Nick's, he's still a bun in the oven, so I always want to hold full judgment until then. He gets out of here. But, you know, they've turned out great. They've done good things. They're good people living good lives. They're doing what they're supposed to do. It's like she's finally coming around to it. So I bring that up wondering if this is maybe a case where time has to pass and you have to be able to show them that the way you've decided to raise your, I forgot if it was a daughter or a son. Is it a son? Son, I think. Raise this emailer. Raise your son or daughter. Can't remember. Can't find it. My eyes aren't working. In a way that exceeds their expectations for what they think are a bunch of, you know, apostates. And I wonder if that goes a longer way because it took me, you know, 25 years of marriage for Kim's mom to actually say something like that to me. And it was a big deal. Like I was freaking out. My kids overheard it. Yeah. They were like, Dad, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Right? Like nobody could believe it because this was opposite of her normally. Normally it's nitpick this, nitpick that. Her shorts are too short. How come Kim shaved her hair, all her long hair off, and now it's short? That's weird. Why is it purple? Like, that's usually what she's doing, but not this time. You know, she was praising how we let them make their own choices and we educate them about what their choices mean and what the impacts are, and then they make the right choice and all that stuff. I don't want to go on about my stuff, but my point is that was such a big moment for us the other night that maybe they'll get theirs. It just takes time.
Well, and you're bringing up something that's crucial, and that is don't underestimate your child. I mean, you can be taught all sorts of things by your parents and your grandparents, but that kid, first of all, there's no way they can infect him as much as you're afraid they will, because that was her experience or his experience. They grew up in that household that was hard for them. They, you know, they had to fully rebel from it and sort of create their own life outside of the norm they'd always known. That takes a ton of courage to do. That includes people who are growing up in a secular atheist home who become religious. Can you imagine that? I mean, it doesn't matter which and what you are, but when you switch teams on your parents, that is tricky stuff. But a grandkid, and here's the thing. Here's my advice. Raise him to be a really good Christian without all the religion, you know, like, hey, grandma and grandpa, this is how they believe. And we respect that. And it means a lot to them and they're good people. And you know, you are the one with the conversations with that kid. And one day, if he's like, I want to be a Baptist. Well, that's what he'll do. But I'm guessing more than not he's going to fall. And that's pretty typical of parents who have good relationships with their kids. Their kids don't tend to go too far away. But, you know, if you're open to them, you know, sort of becoming who they're going to become, and supporting that as you go along, and it's not about you. I mean, that's what's hard. I mean, we boil this down. This is parenting sort of 101 fail, which is everybody does this in various ways. It's through sports. It could be religion. It could be kind of job you have. There is a reflection on you, how your kids do and what they do. And if you're really strung out, if you're really hung up is what I meant, if you're really hung up on them being certain things for your needs, your ego, your satisfaction, your, including, you can't be like my family. Well, you're going to be in trouble because you're not sort of parenting from an open, honest place. So that's really where her power lies, or his power lies, that, you know, be the best parent you can be, raise this kid to be open-minded, tolerant, and willing to sort of allow people their differences. You'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Right. Oh, go ahead, Brian. You were breathing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I was breathing. It is, you know, it is, the control you have is just the way you raise your child to be good, to be bad, to be, you know, how to treat people outside of religion, and giving him those tools to be able to understand, what the effects are of religion, any religion, whether it's Southern Baptist or Christian or Buddhist or whatever, giving them those tools so that when the time comes, they can make their own choices. And I think that their fear is that they're just going to be brainwashed by the grandparents if they let the kid go over their house for a weekend or something, that they're going to be taking them to where they're going to be, like she says, indoctrinated into the church.
Right. And look, and go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say there's something really crucial for all parents to do. And religion provides this for a lot of families and is not a bad thing, which is this concept of ritual of connection. You come together and you have something you do together. So they have a meeting and then they have a ritual where they take bread and water and they have this moment where they pray together, or they're connecting, and there's time set aside for this thing that allows them sort of to do this thing together. Right. And so if you're a non-religious family, do the same thing. You don't have to do church, but you do some kind of ritual connection. So if it's been weekend after weekend after weekend, and you're hardly talking to each other as a family or whatever, that is not good, because there will be a draw to a group. There is a draw, a human need to be connected and sort of find your tribe. So your kid's first tribe is his family. And not all families are perfect. Not every tribe is fun. But there is definitely, if you can implement this, really important strategy for every family is to have traditions that you do. So every Christmas, you do this thing. Every summer, 4th of July, this is the thing that you do. Every weekend, we put a puzzle together, or we play a game of cards, or you know, group mass texts among family members is a wonderful thing of staying connected. It's kind of something we do. We send each other funny memes or whatever. So make sure your family is strong, and then always talk to the kid. He'll tell you. You'll know if he's getting indoctrinated. It will be clear. He'll come home and but he's a kid, so you just got to remember, you're the parents. But create the kind of family life you want. If you don't want the family life your parents had, okay, don't do that. Get one that you want. And think in terms of don't throw everything out with religion, because it has this really powerful way to connect people that you can attempt to mimic by having a group of friends you meet together that is like family, and you do something together. Maybe it's somewhere in nature, whatever, but start to, you know, he's a little kid now, but, you know, start to think about how you create this family life that is strong and teaches the values you want to be taught.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's ritual. It's, there's other words for it, but like, you know, some people's version of this is brunch with, grandma every Sunday. Other people's versions of this is, you know, like my kids really like sushi, so we make a point of sushi at least once a month. Like, it's small things. Sometimes it's spread out. Sometimes it's more regular. Sometimes it's casual, and sometimes it's more locked in as a tradition. But, you know, there's a reason why I think humans need that stuff. And we need it a lot. And we need to also know that we've got a tribe who in some way has our back. I mean, what is religion if not that in a lot of ways? Mm-hmm. It's a chance for people of like-mindedness to have each other's backs. And in times of real trouble and strife, that really shows up. Like, you know, what you saw on the ground in Houston in the last couple of weeks and what will likely be true also in Florida was a whole lot of community coming together. And a lot of that is, you know, church groups out with their sleeves rolled up and knee deep in mud, helping people salvage what they can and helping save lives and stuff. And that's an amazing thing. Like, that is also a very human thing. Like, the only other species on this planet that does stuff like that is like ants. And they just poop chemicals all day and tell each other what to do. Like, they don't have any of the emotional attachment we do. But it's really an amazing thing. And whether it be religion that brings you together for that, or it's your football pool, or it's this show, or whatever it is that brings people together, you want to find that. And you don't want to not have one because you're rebelling against somebody else's version of that, is my takeaway from that. Like, I want them to have that as much as the religion of your parents may be important to them. You got to find your thing that binds you together, whatever that is, and then practice it and nurture it and support it and all that, or else you're just rebelling against your own nature, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, fear is a really powerful motivator, right? Or to sort of cling to things that make sense when things don't make sense. And so, you know, maybe some, and it, I mean, it sounds like the emailer has some pretty mature views of her parents' situation and has compassion for that. But it's simply, you know, there's sort of maybe a compassion for someone who needs to condemn others to feel good, right? Rather than, and this gets to my point of this, which is, as the parents who were raised in a way that you felt was abusive, I mean, she describes it as abusive, you need to do your work on yourself about that. Because really the fear is not that your kids will get indoctrinated by your parents so much as that you have hangups that then make you parent in weird ways.
Right.
And that's all of us. No matter how we were raised, we will have weird things we do that are hangups that we have to fix and we have to do differently. And the only way to do that really is to be really honest with ourselves and what we do. Often the kids will give us feedback. They'll look at you like, wait, that's really about you. And you're like, ugh. And you can either, you know, double down and, you know, do bad parenting that way, or, you know, take a good hard look at yourself and what is it you're doing. Now, in your case, emailer, you have a very specific thing you know that happened. You were raised a certain way and you've had to pull yourself out of that. And that means you've got probably a little baggage there. And so the more you deal with that, the easier it will be to parent your kid, because you won't have that sort of looming in your decision. So when your child says, I want to pray, that's something I want to do, and you like bring the hammer down, and guess what that kid's going to want to do all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right. So to, you know, 3/4 of the earth pray. So, you know, you can sort of, find a way to deal with your feelings and allow your kid to do the thing that they choose to do, so you're not driving them away from you, which is something you experienced.
Right.
So that's kind of the generation recycling of this, sort of a very religious family, kid rebels, they have children, that kid wants to be religious, and then here we go again, you know?
Yeah. And potentially, wouldn't they experience that same thing with their parents, the not necessarily rebelling, but if they're telling their parents, no, we're not going to raise our child Southern Baptist, will that make the grandparents want to do it even more?
Yeah,
and like maybe
so.
Do it. Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, this sounds terrible, but there's a little bit of like, it's the devil, you know, like, you know what they care about. And, mm-hmm. you know, you may feel like you're being put back into your position as a child, which is not having a voice, sorry, it being forced on you, not having a chance to say you disagree. And that may feel like, you know, Groundhog's Day when they start talking that way again. So that's what I mean. When you get to a healthier place about something, you've got to work at that. You know, and maybe focus on the things that are good, because it's really easy to paint it all with a broad brush of it's all bad, so that you don't sort of separate yourself even further from your family. And let me caveat this. There are some really sick versions of this sort of abusive growing up religion, various other, you know,
sure,
cults and whatever,
yeah,
and dysfunctional extended families and neighborhoods. So this is not for everyone that you're, you know, this is a person who's in a healthier place and has made their own decision and is, et cetera. But there are some people who obviously for safety and psychological reasons need to cut ties with a family that is a certain way. So, it, you know, it's not applying to everyone, but it is, I think as a whole, parents don't realize it's kind of twofold, how important they are and how, also how they're not as important as they think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like they've got a lot of opportunity here because they've got a young one.
Yeah.
And the only other piece of advice I would give is learn to laugh at the stuff a little bit. Like, we have an in-law, I won't say who, Wendy and I do, that used to drive everybody up a tree because culturally she would just go in directions that would make us all go, what the crap is happening? And it's a complete, when I say cultural, I mean a completely different part of the world, okay? Hint, it's one of my Korean relatives. But
oh, it's not the Polish cousin you have on the other side?
No, it's not that one. So what has... It used to be very frustrating, and it would make everybody wonder, what the heck, and how can we help, and what can we do, and I remember one day I just kind of went, you know what, why do I care? Well, I care because I like, you know, the family, and I want the family to be happy and all of that, and I realized, you know, the best way for me to do this is just freaking laugh some of this off. And that also works with Kim's mom. It's just kind of funny at some point. Like, yeah. when Kim's mom would hug me, back in the day, she just, you know, it was always some piece of judgment or whatever, and I would get mad, and I would stew about it. But now, sometimes she'll hug me. This is a couple of months ago. She hugged me, and she said, she whispered in my ear, she goes, I hope you're teaching your children to make good decisions. Right, like that in my ear. And I'm like, you know, I really
so
just wanted,
weird,
I was like, I just wanted a hug here. But so what I did is I said, judge hug, I'm being judge hugged. I yelled that out. Kind of like Newman in Jurassic Park. It's Johnson's here, like that kind of yell. And I yelled it, and everybody's laughing. She even laughed, punched me in the arm.
Diffused the situation.
Totally diffused it. So learning how to do that a little better. So when someone says, we're just worried for your eternal soul going to hell, say things like, well, I'm worried I can't make my car payment. Ha ha, walk away. Like whatever it is to diffuse it, that is very helpful. So this Korean connection I'm talking about and Kim's mom, world of difference for me and my own mental well-being by accepting the fact that they're not going to change all that much. So I may as well not try to change it and just chill, you know, just laugh it off and go, all right, whatever, and be who I'm going to be. And for all I know, that may have helped lead up to this kind of weird conciliation we had the other night, her and I. Is conciliation a word? Conciliation.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation. Yeah. I left off the rec and should not.
Well,
have.
You can
Can I concile?
Conciliatory.
Yeah. Whatever. We're like Wendy. We're in Sweden. We're forgetting our English words. Anyway.
I can guarantee there are no English teachers who listen to this. They were like, they would die. Their ears would bleed.
I know of a couple. I know of a couple who do. So we'll get a report card.
Them.
Send us a report card. How'd we do? We doing C's here? B's? How we doing? Someone at home who's a teacher? We'd love to know. All right. Well, let us know.
Wait, let me throw,
oh, yeah. Go
let
ahead.
Me throw something out really quick. Okay. Because this happened to me. We had an event at church that, you know, all the family was invited to, and our nephew was in town, and he refused to come because he had never stepped inside a church in his whole life. And he was afraid he would be hexed or something. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Wait,
which side of the family is his nephew on? Adam's side?
Well, it's the only side that we share, Doug.
Oh. Nope, never mind. I know. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, so he refuses to come, and he cites that he's 22 or 23 years old. He's just finished college, I think. And he cites that he's scared. And I was like, hello, you know us. What are you talking about? Like, it's just a simple little ceremony, and it's lovely, and you're invited, and then we'll go eat treats at my house. Like, it's not, right? And I had this like, oh, like, who raised you that you are completely unable to relate to the majority of humans who have some belief system in any form that you can't sort of have a cultural experience or even an anthropological experience and just observe. And I understand he was raised to be freaked out by that. That was a teaching probably from his dad. And, you know, how that plays out over the long haul, I don't think he's going to ruin his life, but it sure means he misses out on some cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, if you haven't ever been to a mosque, you are missing out. It's one of the coolest experiences. If you've never been to an Eritrean church, I will tell you, bring some snacks. You're going to be there for 3.5 hours. But it is the most incredibly interesting, and it's like you get to observe. You can respect that without being brainwashed, without, you know, getting sucked in or some whatever you're afraid of, but just, you know, sort of connecting with people. So when you handle this child and you try so hard to keep her away from something because you have issues, make sure you deal with your issues, A. And then B, you can expose her to all the beautiful things that are a part of religion. That you walk into a gorgeous chapel, cathedral is the word, in Paris, and it's life-altering. It doesn't mean you have to believe in God for 1 second. It's just...
You don't have to become French either. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like just having a passport. Like, you can go places.
Sure.
You could observe a good portion of the planet in a way that's respectful and open.
Yeah.
And sort of, I mean, that's what I meant by teaching your kid to be a good Christian.
Sure. I went down when I was in Mississippi.
The technical definition.
When I was in Mississippi, I visited a white mega church. There were no black people there for whatever reason. I don't think it was like purposely that. It was just kind of in a more affluent part of Jackson, and that was just kind of the way it fell. But anyway, I went to that, and it was a very evangelical, speaking in tongues, guy rolling in the aisles kind of joint, and it was fascinating. Didn't mean I walked out of there going, I just got to see it, and it was a very interesting, in some ways shocking, but also, you know, I feel like I learned something there. And then I also went to a black church that was in a poorer part of the area that was really awesome. The music there was a joy in there that was kind of hard to deny, but they were so nice, so kind to me, so friendly and open. And then they played just incredible music and the gospel singing.
The gospel kind of thing.
Oh, totally, dude. You know, the kind from like, I'm trying to think of a movie or something, but that really like, raucous way into it. Put your hands,
yeah,
like that whole thing. It was so great. Like, it was really, really awesome. Cool to get to see that. And I think that's what you're saying. Just go, you know, whatever it is. If it's the parents, humor's a big part of this. Like, just joke with them some. And if they're so mean that they're just like, you're going to hell for joking with me, well, then maybe we're in a different category of problem. But I don't know. Just being pissed about it all the time is going to get you nowhere. And, you know, trust me, as someone who gets pissed about things that get them nowhere, I get nowhere when I'm pissed. It happens a lot. You know, I get pissed at Donald Trump. Doesn't really get me anywhere, but I get pissed. I try to only get, if I'm pissed about something I can control, I'll try to fix it. But same goes with you guys. If you got, you know, I don't know. I just think, I think, I also want to just reiterate, I think sometimes time, the old phrase, time heals all wounds, has some effect here. There is a way to have time work with you on this process. And that is to show that you're the kind of parent you want to be, to show that, you know, whatever. And also, you know, don't hold yourself too accountable. You may have a kid who turns 15 and goes, that's it. I'm opening a pot farm and I'm going to kill a dude. And, you know, who knows? Not that those two things are related. I'm just kind of spouting things off. But you know, like, in the end, it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is, did you do the best you could with the people you could? And did you give of yourself? And did they, you know, did you benefit people more than you asked for? And did you leave it cleaner than you left it? And or the, when you found it and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Gospel of Blaine. I have pamphlets I'd like to hand out. Make an orderly line at the chapel. We'll get you guys all taken care of. So there you go.
And you have to make this sound frequently.
Yeah, my dad used to always make that sound. If he was driving and he'd just see a stranger on the road, he'd wave and go with his mouth.
Like it's a horse. Like, come here, horse. Yeah, I don't know what it was. But yeah, that's the official psalm of the Blaine of Church.
Yeah. This is what everyone, please stand and give the reading of the... Okay, now in unison.
Yeah, right.
And at the end, you have to, you'd make the... And then you say, enjoy.
And then we'll all go get a Wendy burger on our way home.
No, a fish burger at Wendy's.
Oh, fish burger at Wendy's, fish he would always say. Yeah. Or he'd order a deluxe burger everywhere we went. Oh, my gosh, Dad. Everywhere. It doesn't matter what the drive up or what they sold there. It could be a KFC. And he'd get up to the window and go, yeah, I'd like your, and he'd always say it this way, I'd like your deluxe burger. And I'd just sit there in the seat and go, Dad. You're killing me over here. Oh, I missed that though.
They're anyway. Like, we don't have burgers. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Well. It's all right. Give me, you have fish. You got fish. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich, you'd say? Anyway, Wendy, always a pleasure. Wendy Dunford on Instagram, of course, therapythursdays.com. You can go check that out. And I hope things are going well. Is kids in school and stuff and all that?
They are. Mm. Speaking of religion, hallelujah.
No, that's good.
Seriously.
They're being educated. Fantastic. And and they're out of your hair, which is probably a good thing. Well, great. Well, we'll do this again next week. Is it cold there yet and dark and all that yet? Or are you guys still working?
Not yet, but okay. It's telling you it's coming. It's just kind of overcast a little too much, but you know.
Yeah.
We have our woolen leggings. We'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. All right. Well, take it easy. Have fun. And we'll see you next time. Bye now. She hangs up faster than I do, dude. I'm telling you.
Yeah. At least she says bye, though.
I know. I'm kind of the worst. I admit it. All right. We have another episode of this show coming up later today. That is called the TMSPM show. And I believe, isn't it two we settled on?
We did. Yeah. Two is the
2 o'clock
the start time.
So
4 PM Eastern, 1 PM Pacific.
Yeah. So that'll be today here at frogpants.tv. So if you're watching live, you can come back and watch us do that. And of course, everybody on the feed gets it tomorrow. But anyway, come on back for that. Big thanks to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/TMS, because that is why we have the extra episode a month, or a week rather. And we love doing it. So check that out. We also have other goals we'd like to get to, like our game show goal. If we can get to that goal, all hell will rake loose. It'll be amazing. That will be your new religion, everybody. Everyone will worship.
But we have new stuff that we're unveiling on today's today's PM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. We totally are.
Yeah. So stick around for that.
Sure. And we have a familiar voice coming on the PM show today.
We do. Well, related to that very thing.
Yeah. So that'll be good. So come on back for that. What is that, 2.5 hours from now? Something like that.
2 hours and 15 minutes from now, yes.
Sweet. I'm going to go to the gym.
Get lunch, get in a walk or a run, and then come on back.
Yeah. I got to meet with Dave and go to the gym somehow in all that time. So we'll see if we can figure it out. I think that's going to do it. Let's, and frogpants.com/TMS for everything else you might need. If you're trying to contact us, find us, find all our social stuff. It's all there. Go check that out anytime your heart pleases. Brian, let's leave him with a little song, shall we?
Sure. How about something going out to Tom? It says, greetings, gentlemen. Another year and another request from my friend Jessica for her birthday, which is September 9th. So if you could honor her with a song on the 7th or the 11th, that would be wonderful. Well, today's the 7th, so perfect. She's planning on moving soon, and she would love something with the word house or home in the title. This would be the 4th year she would be hearing a birthday song. She always tells me how much she finds them special. Keep up the good work. Signed, Tom. Well, okay. This is a funny one, because I go through the house and home songs and find stuff like Burning Down the House and Baby Let's Play House by Elvis Presley and A House Is Not a Home. And I want something more positive than a couple of those. And boy, when you're talking about positivity, there's nothing more positive than freaking Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. Yep.
How about Winnie the Pooh, sung by the guy who said, some folks call her a Kaiser Blade, I call it a Sling Blade. That's exactly what you're going to hear. So Billy Bob Thornton, in addition to being a great actor, also is a musician, quite a good musician, as a matter of fact, and is part of a band that is called the Boxmasters. In 2008, they released an album, a self-titled album, and it's really, really good. It includes this cover of a song originally done by Kenny Loggins and Messina. What was it, David Messina? Loggins and Messina. Let's just leave it at Loggins and Messina.
Sure.
And it is a cover of House at Pooh Corner.
All right, here it is. We'll be back a little bit later today, so we'll see you guys then.
Christopher Robin and I walked along under branches lit up by the moon, posing our questions to Alan Eyoor as our days disappeared all too soon. But I wandered much further today than I should, and I can't find my way to the 3-acre wood. So help me if you can, I've got to get back to the house at Pooh Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and Pooh. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey jar stuck on his nose. He came to me asking help and advice, and from here no one knows where he goes. So I sent him to ask of the owl if he's there, how to loosen a jar from the nose of a bear. So help me if you can, I've got to get back to the house at Pooh Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin, back to the ways of Christopher Robin, back to the days of
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You ain't escaping me now.
Jeez.